America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, it's like, Ross, I'm always going to naturally, like, check around and look. It's to me, I feel like that's my job. I got to look under every rock to see if there's anything that makes sense. You know, will there be some player that fits everything, fits our scheme, whatever side of the ball it is, fits the parameters of what compensation that club would want to move him? And then, you know, the biggest piece of all, does his contract fit, you know, with where we are tied up against the cap? And so all those things would have to work, which makes it say probably the Vegas odds are probably not high, but we're still going to swing for the fence.
Going to swing for the fence.
I only want to hear, only listen to the last three words of that sententence.
Trade deadline day in the NFL. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. A couple trades made. Khalil Herbert, Za'Darius Smith, both have been traded.
Miles Sanders is available, according to Tom Pelissero.
Okay, well, I'm sure there are going to be a lot of calls for Miles Sanders. Joining us on the Western Hotline is Chris Trapasso, friend of the show, on quite a bit, and posted a little bit about, Chris, I saw all your ideas for defensive line, linebacker, safety, some other ones, of course, as well. Chris of CBS Sports, NFL Draft, and young player analyst, CBS Sports, and joining us now. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Is Za'Darius Smith, crap, would have done that kind of for you for the Bills?
Yes, but it always felt, starting with last week, that the Lions were the team that was the most zeroed in on him, and this was almost a trade that was imminent after week 9. He's someone inside-outside rusher who's been really productive on multiple teams. I just kind of didn't have him in my mind for the Bills again because there's reports dating back to early last week that the Lions were the team that had the most conversations with Cleveland about Smith.
Not a big price for him. If we're moving away from Za'Darius Smith, do you feel like, if nothing else, maybe we got the market set for that kind of move?
Yeah, that's a good point because he was probably outside of the Max Crosby, Miles Garrett, huge trade package type players, it felt like Za'Darius Smith was the best player on the market that was still producing at a high level on the Browns defense this season. And for a 2025 fifth and a 2026 sixth rounder, they get a seventh rounder back. Not a huge price to pay for someone that is, you know, not 36, 37 years old, in his early 30s and is still producing. So I think anyone else that we're going to talk about or you're going to hear or see on Twitter today that might be someone who could be traded at that edge rusher spot is going to go for less than what Za'Darius Smith was just traded for.
Regarding those two big names you mentioned, Max Crosby and Miles Garrett, are you giving any thought to the idea that they could be moved? I mean, the prices would be big, of course. And I mean, like, multiple firsts for Miles Garrett is my thought. Are you holding out any hope or kind of dismissing that out of hand?
I don't think they would do that. And from that interview with Brandon Bean, like you mentioned, you know, you can take the final three words, swing for the fences, or I guess four words, that's what he, like, that's his mindset always. But in terms of the money, he did mention in that interview as well that the Bills just are kind of tight to the cap. You can certainly juggle things. You guys talk about it a lot, and I think fans understand that now. But I would be surprised if they built up all this draft capital to remain as a perennial Super Bowl contender next year, the year after, and then they end up trading like multiple firsts and dip into the early portions of 2026 to get a Max Crosby or a Myles Garrett in Buffalo.
So if you're looking at ideas that happen today, and this will be probably 95% of the trades anyway, we've already seen it, day three picks getting spent. And Chris, like some of the targets like that could cost that. I mean, the Bills have 2/4 and 3/6. So they have a volume of picks down there at least.
Yeah, totally. And that's what I think. I mean, that just because you're trading a day three selection doesn't mean you're getting a bad player. It's just like Jeremy was saying, that if Za'Darius Smith is going for that low of a compensation package, someone like Jadeveon Clowney or someone on the interior of the defensive line is probably not going to fetch much more than what the Bills have kind of an ample supply of.
We don't know about Keon Coleman's injury, and maybe that changes things. But right now, what is your favorite idea for the Bills?
It's definitely Jadeveon Clowney, and it's because he's a player that kind of feels like you almost forget that he's in the league because he's been on the Carolina Panthers this season. But last year, he was a menace for the Baltimore Ravens. And I think, and I watched his film, he's not going through the motions in Carolina this year, but he definitely seemed more revitalized late in his career last season when he set a career high with 78 pressures in the regular season and the postseason in Baltimore. I feel kind of like a player who, in the right situation on a contending team, will give you a little bit more effort. And what I like about Clowney is the Bills probably have some concerns just at the edge rusher position in general, but he's big. He's a quality run defender, even when he wasn't really, you know, living up to the hype of being the number one overall pick, and his own draft mate Khalil Mack became the better player. He was always a good run defender, and setting the edge, having that bigger body like a Dwayne Smoot was, I think at the very least, even if you're not going to get 7 sacks down the stretch and in the playoffs from Clowney, you're going to get quality run defense, and just the speed to power is certainly still there. That's kind of what happens when you're that much of a freak athlete. By the time you're 31, you still have a fair amount of juice.
First overall draft pick by the Texans back in 2014. Five years there, and then Seattle, Tennessee, Cleveland for 2, Baltimore, Carolina. Do you have any explanation? I don't know if there is an explanation here of why no one else has decided to lock that in for a while. He goes places and he makes a difference, and yet he's always on the move.
Yeah, that's a great question. He kind of feels like the defensive version, guy from the same draft class, of Brandon Cooks, where everyone understands Brandon Cooks is a good player. He can give you 1,000 yards, but is he ever a transcendent guy where you're like, man, premium position at receiver, premium position at edge rusher, you need him here for the next 3 to 5 seasons? He kind of feels just right in that no man's land where, like you mentioned, he can be a quality guy, especially if he's your 3rd or your 4th defensive end like he was in Baltimore last year. He can be a really valuable piece. So it's kind of hard to peg why not one of those teams wanted to extend him, but he's definitely someone that can bring a lot of three down ability at a position that suddenly the Bills, I don't want to say they're super thin at that, and I like Javon Solomon, but being a rookie, being 6'1", 240, he's not really going to give you a ton against the run, or I would assume the Bills don't expect him to do that down the stretch and into the playoffs.
Do you have a second favorite idea on the defensive line that could be moved today?
Yeah, Osa Odighizuwa from the Cowboys. Now, it feels like everyone in the Cowboys front office could say, we're 3-5, Dak Prescott's on IR, let's be sellers. And then Jerry Jones might walk into the room and say, no, we're going to try to be buyers, because I think he's kind of totally out in left field at this point. But Odighizuwa last year, and he's a defensive tackle, he's a bigger body, he's not the 6'1", 290, undersized type player, very good against the run, and he had a breakout season last year in Dallas, had over 50 pressures, and it was just a good three-down player. He was part of, really before that Bills game, when the Cowboys defense was playing really quality football, it wasn't just Deron Bland and Micah Parsons. Their interior was really good. He's on the last year of his deal, not a lot of money. If he plays quality football down the stretch, he could be part of the core that I think the Bills are going to have to look at to inject some youth into the defensive line with Daquan Jones at his age. Odighizuwa would be one that I would certainly be calling the Cowboys about, because I still think at his age, he's 24, 25 years old, is an ascending player that you can get in right away, can be three-down player, and maybe be someone that's on the roster for the next couple seasons.
Chris Trapasso on the Western Hotline on Bills trade deadline potential targets. Which do you, are you aligned that the defensive line is the clear number one likely landing spot?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, there's certainly a lot of push for safety, but it kind of feels like as these games progress, and I know that kind of the narrative is, hey, Damar Hamlin's not really a starting safety, but I haven't seen too many games where Damar Hamlin has been this huge liability, giving up big plays. I think he's been a very sure tackler from the free safety spot, and we know Taylor Rapp has made some plays. And then you think, you know, there's all of this controversy kind of in the depths of the Bills' Twitter about Mike Edwards, like, why is he not playing? But he's still there. They have Cole Bishop, and it feels like Sean McDermott wouldn't necessarily push for a safety to come in and try to learn this very complex defense, especially from the safety spot, this late in the season to then play, you know, against the Chiefs and against the 49ers and the Lions and into the playoffs. So if anything, beyond the injuries, I think it's a lot easier for a defensive lineman to come in and just say, hey, get after the passer or get off this block and make a play against the run.
Yeah, safety's been tough for me too on that. Like, it almost feels like you have to find somebody with previous knowledge of the system or experience. And the guy out there that has that is Jordan Poyer. And given what he looked like this year, I don't think anybody think that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel like with the safety spot. And again, there are those two, you know, the rookie and the veteran in Cole Bishop and Mike Edwards on the roster. So yeah, it feels like defensive line, whether it's, to me, it should be an edge rusher. I know there's a lot of push for defensive tackle. One other edge rusher that I want to mention, Carl Granderson from the Saints. He's 28, went to Wyoming. He was a year after Josh Allen, so I don't know how much that connection really matters and how much say Josh has, but he is a very much an ascending player. Was signed to a contract extension, I believe, last year in New Orleans, and that's a team, I don't know if you guys have talked about it, that is now certainly in cap hell, like $60 million over the cap next year. The roster's terrible. They're not a good team. He's someone that I would call about. I mean, maybe you would think, hey, like someone like a Cam Jordan is more likely because of his age, but if this is a team that's like, we need to like work very hard to get under the cap, I would call about Carl Granderson. He's a really hefty three-down edge rusher that I still think has his best football in front of him.
Right. That's a team where you'd have to figure out, like, can they even eat dead cap? They also, though, they paid Alvin Kamara recently, and I almost, thinking about that extension now, Chris, I almost wonder if the Saints did that, not even because they want Kamara for multiple years, but because that was a way for them to free up a couple million to sell.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's the only reason why that would make sense. Then again, like I just said, you know, you can never know what's going on with Jerry Jones. That with the Saints, it's always felt like they've been kicking the can down the road, like since the last 3 years of the Drew Brees era, and we're far removed from that now. So I don't really know how the front office operates there in New Orleans.
If Coleman is going to be out for a while, it's a huge if right now. Is there? Do you feel like the receiver market's dried up? Is there any names hanging around there that you think are interesting, even if it's not for the Bills, for somebody? Like, Pittsburgh has been chasing receivers since the summer, and I just don't know how many names are left that would make a difference that also don't cost an exorbitant amount.
Yeah, I would say mostly dried up for the Bills or any other team. The one guy that I think you could get for essentially nothing, who I think can come in and just be a quality number three or number four, is Adam Thielen. I know he was injured earlier in the season, but you know, he's caught a ton of passes in his career. He's been in Carolina the last 2 years. Route running, the hands are still there. He's not quite as quick or as fast as he was, but that was never really his game. He'd really be the only one that wouldn't cost a lot, that would really be like almost like a hockey rent-a-player where you would just have him, you know, for these last six or seven games then into the playoffs.
Do you like the style of receiver he is? I mean, is he insurance, or do you feel like he would be a fit in this offense fully?
I think he could be a fit because he's, like, I'm not going to say that he's DeAndre Hopkins, but he's that type where he has the reputation of route running, nuance, but he's also has really good hands. DeAndre Hopkins can make those tough catches like we saw last night on the one down the middle of the field. Adam Thielen can make those difficult grabs where he kind of makes him more of a downfield threat than maybe the age and the speed would indicate. So that's someone that I think because doesn't have the athleticism and his age and the injuries, wouldn't cost a lot, but could maybe give a little bit more than just being an underneath type of player to any team that would trade for him.
All right. Chris Trapasso.
Who should be calling on Anthony Richardson right now, in your opinion?
Man, a lot of teams. The fact that they are, like, giving up on him, and the Shane Steichen quote from yesterday where he's like, no, we're going to stick with Joe Flacco the rest of the season. Like, I mean, obviously coaches can change their mind, but it's like the Colts are out of the playoffs in, like, December. Why would they not start Anthony Richardson? And, like, if the Bills gave up on Josh Allen after 10 games, it would have been the biggest, you know, colossal mistake in franchise history. I'm not saying that Anthony Richardson has been Josh Allen 2.0, but if you look at the stats, and we remember that 2018 season, it wasn't until like the last three or four games where Josh Allen started to flash. He looked very bad, very inaccurate, horrible decisions repeatedly in those first 10 games. I think there's a lot of clubs, whether it's just to stash as a backup or maybe to just say, hey, we're not very good right now. We're going to let you play and get reps as we go, you know, 4-13 or whatever the case may be, and then try to build around you next year. There should be teams at least picking up the phone to call Ryan Grigson in Indianapolis.
Last thing I have for you, the race for the first overall pick right now, there's like nine teams with two wins. How valuable is it this year? Like, should it be a tank race that we should be paying attention to?
It should not be. I really like Travis Hunter is a special talent. Is he going to change your whole franchise like the second you pick him? I don't think so. And for as much depth as it seems like this quarterback class has, I don't think any of them are on the Caleb Williams, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, it's just in terms of prospects, that type of level. Shedeur Sanders is maybe getting close, but he comes with obviously a fair amount of baggage. And all the other ones, Jalen Milroe hasn't really played great. Carson Beck, same thing. Quinn Ewers. So it's not like it's been like we've kind of grown accustomed to the last 4 or 5 years where, man, if you get that first overall pick, you're getting a franchise changer. It's not really the case seemingly right now for the 2025 class.
Chris, one last thing. DeAndre Hopkins in Kansas City last night, we saw it in its full form, or maybe at least the closest to full right now. Does he change who they are?
A little bit, because like I mentioned, it's not so much about the getting open, because I think Andy Reid does such a good job scheming guys open. He's done it for the entire Patrick Mahomes career, and that's not taking anything away from him. It's the making those difficult grabs where obviously last year, like the narrative was that the Chiefs wide receivers had such a hard time holding on to actually good throws from Patrick Mahomes, but without Rashee Rice, without a lot of those other targets, Xavier Worthy's not someone that's going to win 50-50 balls. I think DeAndre Hopkins in some of those key moments, potentially in the playoffs, can be that type of player. But do I think suddenly they're going to start scoring 30-something points every game because of DeAndre Hopkins? I don't necessarily think that. He just gives Mahomes maybe someone that he feels a little bit more confident that throwing those tight window passes to.
Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, NFL draft analyst and young player analyst as well on the Western Hotline ahead of, on deadline day. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks.
Follow him on Twitter and all the other assorted places.
Nick Veronica just tweeted out odds for the next head coach of the New Orleans Saints. Doug Allen getting, not Doug Allen. Dennis Allen, thank you.
Yes.
Dennis Allen. Getting fired yesterday, the favorite to one gambling site to be the next Saints head coach,
Belichick,
Joe Brady.
Oh, that's a bad job.
New Orleans, reckon the Louisiana connection there, right?
Sure, it's a bad job to take.
The Saints' job is a bad
job.
Yes,
you're tied into Derek Carr.
Yeah,
you have no cap space. You're rebuilding, but you're not. It's a bad job. It's about as bad as a job as you can get.
Yeah, maybe that's why none of the big names are really high on this. Well, man, Ben Johnson second. Ben Johnson's
not taking that job.
Todd Monken, Aaron Glenn, Mike Vrabel, Wes Phillips, Darren Rizzi, Bobby Slowick. There's Belichick down the list.
I would bet
there's not like the big names are kind of low down.
I would bet Darren Rizzi remains their coach. That would be my bet.
Just hey, get us through.
Yep.
Who did that in Houston for a couple years?
Lovie Smith.
But even before that, someone before that, right? Former Bill connection, right? Oh, who was it? Everyone was mad when he got fired. I'm like, what are you mad at? He was never going to be a coach anyway. He got $30 million for nothing.
It was David Culley.
David Culley.
Yep.
Yeah. Next version of David Culley.
Yep.
Just, hey, we'll give you a big paycheck. Coach us for a year or two. It's probably going to go horribly. And then, you know, we'll say sayonara.
I have a very important question to ask you.
Sure. What's that? Is it what the hot dog is? Because I know what the hot dog is.
No. What country's capital is growing the fastest? That's what country's capital is growing the fastest?
Right, here we go, everybody. Dad joke here on a Tuesday. What capital? What? I'm going to answer seriously. What country's capital is growing? Dubai.
No. Ireland. Every day it's Dublin.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah,
it's good.
You want another internet?
It's a 6-8.
You want another international dad joke?
Sure. Yeah.
What do you know about Switzerland?
Nothing. What?
I don't know much either, but I hear their flag's a big plus.
That's great. That's not as funny as I just appreciate the writing on that one. That's a 7.
That's real good. What's the best way to watch a fly fishing tournament?
Flying? No, I don't know.
Live stream.
It's a 3.
No. Everyone in here is cracking up. That is a fantastic joke.
You're only cracking up because you were cracking up at the first two.
Which one are you voting for? It's election day. Which one's the best?
I'm voting for... I like two.
Switzerland?
The big plus.
Listen, the Dublin one's pretty good, too.
Yeah,
live stream? Come on, you don't like live stream? These are all winners. All right, you want to guess the dog of the day? Want to do that next?
I know the dog of the day already. Okay. I don't know it. I looked at the picture. I don't think I could tell you exactly what's on it by looking at the picture. There's one ingredient that is indistinct. Like, you can't miss. There's one.
Poutine. Cheese curds. Poutine. What?
I think you have it. Okay, do you want me to look at the description? By the picture, I think you might have it.
Yeah, it's Ottawa, so it's going to be a poutine dog.
Yeah.
And it'll be the... they put a political fun little pun on it. The Senators, Election Day.
Oh, it's the Senators on Election Day. How about that?
It's the decision dog.
Any chance that was on purpose? No, right?
No.
The Senators on Election Day.
What's the name of the dog?
Alanis?
Alanis Morissette. Okay.
What's that?
Alanis Morissette is she's a singer.
Oh, okay.
She's a 90s, an iconic 90s alternative rock, modern rock performer.
Okay.
She sang the song. You know one of her songs. She sang Ironic. You know that song.
Okay.
Her album, Jagged Little Pill.
I believe you.
I think it's Jagged Little Pill is the name of the album.
Yep, I'm looking
you
at it.
You ought to know. That's Alanis Morissette.
All right. I believe you that I know these songs.
You definitely know.
I would have to hear them, probably.
You definitely know Ironic.
Okay. I believe you.
I feel like that's her biggest song.
All right. Dog of the day. Here's the ingredients for the Alanis. Foot-long hot dog topped with brisket, french fries, mushrooms, cheese curds, gravy, and green onion.
That is a jackpot.
That is going to be, I bet, in competition for one of the best of the year. Yeah. It just looks great.
Yeah.
The french fries on top.
Absolute jackpot.
Yeah. All right, that's tonight.
Sabres and Senators. Must win?
I mean, you said the season's over if they lose.
Well,
it's November 5th.
I want to give you something here, and this is not always the most fun thing, and I asked Lindy about it. What do you do about your goalies? The Sabres, in goals save above expected, for guys that have played 3 games.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You know that Price is Right game cliffhanger where the guy walks and he keeps walking until you stop?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to start scrolling to find the first Sabre in goals save above expected. Ready?
Sure.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I'm at number 30. I'm at number 38, 39, 40, 41, 45. Ukko Pekka Luukkonen is 45th in goals save above expected per 60. Now I'm going to scroll the backup. 50 and the 55, 57, 58. Your goalies who are supposed to be a strength of your team.
Yeah.
Are 45th and 58th.
ESPN ranked them, I think, the 11th best duo in the
They're
league.
They're supposed
coming
to be good, and they are not good right now.
Nope.
Why are you 4-7-1? A lot of reasons. A
couple of reasons.
One of them is I can't get saves. I don't need saves at expected. I'd like saves above expected.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat routinely. 45th and 58th. Lukanen behind guys like, right behind Sergei Bobrovsky. But remember Darcy Kemper when the Sabres lost to him opening night? And we're like, wow, he made a guy like Darcy Kemper. Darcy Kemper's got a better goals above expected than Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
Mm-hmm.
And Levi's behind someone by the name of Joel Hofer and Joseph Wall.
Hall of Famer. HOFer.
Yeah, he's OG. And Tristan Jarry.
Yeah, they're tied for last right now in the Atlantic Division. By the way, Atlantic Division's right back to the way it normally is. Florida, Tampa, Toronto, Boston. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. By the way,
it's like the Chiefs.
I did think of this the other day. Here's Ottawa tonight. We always say how the NHL has so much parity. But is that true for the Sabres? Do they play in a division where
parity
the
proof.
Same four teams... Here's the way of looking at it. The bottom four in the Atlantic, Ottawa, Detroit, Buffalo, Montreal, none of the four have made the playoffs in a real playoff season since 2017. It's been 7 years.
The Atlantic is...
Since there was any parity in the Atlantic.
Yeah, parity-proof Atlantic.
So I'm not giving that as an excuse of, that's why the Sabres have been bad. I'm just saying, you hear it a lot of, NHL should be the easiest league in the league to make it. They play in a division where it's about as hard as possible.
One other way to say
they still do it
is that the Sabres could be in last place in the entire league after tonight.
Woof. All right, yeah, must win.
They have 9 points. Only San Jose is fewer with 8.
I mean, if they're losing this game tonight, I mean, it's going to get uglier and uglier and uglier in that building. Or just maybe not. Maybe it'll get emptier.
803-0550. Jeremy and Joe, happy Tuesday on WGR.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, this I know. I know just the chorus, though, I think.
Yeah.
And this is, I looked at a couple of other songs, it's the only one.
I performed this at karaoke and dedicated to Jason Bottrell.
Yeah?
It's not fair, the mess you left when you went away. I don't know. Is that too tough, singing karaoke to a former GM?
He wasn't there.
No, just right. It's just in it, to, you know.
Yeah, no, I think you're fine.
In spirit.
I think you're fine.
Anyway, hey, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. It's NFL trade deadline day. Jadeveon Clowney is Chris Trapasso's famous idea.
All right, I'm into that idea. Yeah. Carolina, he's got 1 sack on the year, but last year he was good in Baltimore. Yeah, it's weird how many teams he's been on. He's a journeyman. Cooks is not a bad comparison that Chris made, too.
Brandon Cooks.
Because Cooks has always been good, and he just always bounces around. He actually is a name I saw that could be on the move today. If Dallas decides, hey, let's sell anything off, which I might want to guess they don't, but I know they're talking about that. Cooks is a veteran that they could probably get a late round pick for. That's still relatively good. He's kind of always been relatively good. Do you want to guess the top five receiving duos in the league? Quarterback receiving duos in the league by EPA this year?
Sure. Quarterback receiver duos by EPA in the league this year.
Yeah. Instant trivia. Who are the best five duos in the league at this?
Okay, I'm going to write down five. Okay. And I'm going to write them down first.
I think you can get all... I think you can... It's tough trivia, but I think you can get at least three of the five here.
Yeah, okay.
You can probably get all five. It just depends.
I've got four tandems written down right now. Let me just think about this for a second. Like, my number one guess is Burrow to Chase.
Burrow to Chase is this list I have, which I think is the top 15. I think that's the last duo listed.
15th.
Yeah.
All right. Jones-Neighbors.
Jones-Neighbors, number five.
Darnold Jefferson.
Number one.
Alan Shakir.
Number two.
Okay.
Alan Shakir is the number two duo in the league by EPA.
Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin?
No, that's okay. Not. That's pretty up there, though. I think it's ninth.
I'm missing number one?
You're missing number three.
Number three.
Darnold Jefferson was number one. When Darnold Jefferson is the best duo in the league. Alan Shakir is number two. Jones-Neighbors is number five. Actually, I think you're missing three and four then.
Three and four.
Yeah, you're missing three and four.
By EPA per play.
Yeah.
Okay, so it could be a guy
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. No, sorry. Total EPA.
Total EPA.
Total EPA on the year.
Like, Baker to Godwin might be an answer here.
Number four. Baker to Godwin. All yeah. Right. A 69% success rate when they would target each other.
So
you're missing number three.
Number three. Hold on. I got to go look at the logos. Number three.
I would say this is the toughest one, but I don't think you're going to be stunned when you either get it or hear it.
I got an outside shot here.
Okay.
He's got six touchdowns. Is it a receiver? Yeah, it's receiver.
These are all receivers, yeah.
All right. I'm going to lean toward... I'm going to lean towards... Ooh, I got two guesses now.
Okay.
I don't want to say Lawrence to BTJ. I want to say instead...
They are 12th.
Okay.
12th.
Yeah. I want to say instead, Cousins to London. He's got six touchdowns.
You're close.
Cousins to Mooney.
Cousins to Mooney.
Okay.
Cousins to Darnell Mooney is number three in the league. Yeah. In total EPA on the season.
Okay.
It goes, yeah. So Darnell to Jefferson, Allen to Shakir, Cousins to Mooney, Mayfield to Godwin, Jones to Neighbors. Just missing out. If this guy didn't get hurt, he'd be in the top five. Stroud to Collins.
Yep.
And then Lamar to Flowers.
Yep.
And the only other one on this list you were really missing, Goff to St. Brown. And Rodgers to Lazard cracked the list just barely.
While we're
how
doing
about
this,
Allen and Shakir, though, number two? Yeah.
While we're doing this receiver quarterback stuff, how about stat of the day for you? Josh Allen's yards per target, or average depth of target in the game against Miami, was 3.7. The lowest of any game of his career.
Wow.
And Joe Marino, will talk to him on tomorrow. I think he said it might have been the lowest number like in the league this year. Maybe not. But the lowest of Allen's career, which means Miami played a lot of cover three and cover four and forced the Bills to play small ball, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. They just played small ball. That's what they had to do.
Jerry Jones just told the media the Cowboys will more than likely add a receiver today.
Okay.
So ignore what I just said about maybe they would trade Brandon Cooks away.
Cortland Sutton. Who are the names? DK Metcalf, Cortland Sutton.
Someone we don't think maybe that though could be available.
Darius Slayton.
Metcalf would qualify as that, right?
Yeah.
Metcalf would be, oh wow, Metcalf was available?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just Higgins, but nobody has the space to do that
right
now that I know of. I don't know who is able to pull that trade off. Also, Houston would be a team that you would think of as acquiring a receiver today, right? That's a team that makes sense for like an Adam Thielen or one of these slot guys that could be available. Yeah, Sutton feels like Cowboys. Maybe that's the Bills' idea if they were to go at that position again. The Raiders don't have anybody. It's Jacoby Myers status. Yeah, no. Give me some action today. He did say, Bean, in that interview last week, that last year when he traded for Rasul Douglas, that got put together in like the final hour of the deadline. So they came close to not doing something last year. But
yeah, or they had something and they strung it along. Wait, hold on, I got to make one more call. Let me get right back to you.
Yeah.
Hold on. Oh, never mind.
What about Romeo Doubs in Green Bay? Wasn't he unhappy like 3 weeks ago?
He was. Yeah.
They have a good player in Dontavian Wicks behind him that doesn't play a lot. So, I mean, that would be 2 years in a row where Green Bay could sell at the deadline. And like they traded Douglas away last year and then made the playoffs. So, you know, crazier things have happened. He gets targets. 5, 6, 10, 4, 8 since he got benched. So, name to keep an eye on.
Thursday night, what's the game Thursday night football? We got Maction back tonight, by the way.
UB or just the Mac in general?
Just the Mac in general.
Thursday night football this week is Bengals at Ravens. That's really good.
That is good.
That's very good. Bengals at Ravens. There was a flex into the Sunday night game next week, I believe. Was it next week or the week after? Now I got to find it. This week, your primetime schedule is Bengals-Ravens, then Lions-Texans is the Sunday night game, and then Dolphins-Rams is the Monday night game.
That's good, too. Bowling Green in Central Michigan today.
All right. Some action.
The trivia music is playing. Would you like me to give you a trivia question that I got at the tailgate this week that was really good?
Sure.
Name the four Division I, or FBS, whatever, schools, whose school name is a color.
Okay.
I have to remember.
Like, a color is in the name. It's not just the color,
no,
right?
No,
it's just the color?
Is the
it's
name.
It's like the Tulane Green Wave isn't going to count.
Nope, not it.
Just the color?
Syracuse. No.
The orange, right?
No. Syracuse. The school name.
Oh, the school
is a
name?
Color. There are four schools where the school name is a color. And I can only, hold on, this is how you know we're doing this spur of the moment. I can right now only remember three of them. So I'm going to play along with you and try to remember.
Yeah, what am I looking for? So like Bowling Green.
Nope.
Doesn't count because
that's
bowling.
Right. That's right.
It'd have to be Green University.
Correct.
There can't be four of
there
these.
There are four.
What?
Four schools.
Are these going to be like, oh, that's a color at the paint store, but it's not really like...
No, Mountain Mist.
Mystic Wave.
No.
That's the color.
They're all colors.
Okay.
I mean, one or two is less obvious. You know, there's no red, but there are four.
Is there an Indigo University?
No.
Is there a...
Tweet them in when you think of it. Four
colors.
Schools.
Auburn.
Correct.
Yeah, Auburn's a color.
Yep.
Okay. All right, there we go. Get the ball rolling here.
Boy, I got to think of the fourth one. What's better than asking trivia and only knowing
and
some of the answers?
And not even knowing the whole question. man.
Well, I can't look up a list of schools because it'll give it away. SEC's Vanderbilt a color? No.
What about in the MAC? Is there...
Oh, okay. I got the last one.
Is Kent a color?
No.
Is...
You got a clue in the control room right there.
Is that Brown University?
Brown.
Okay, that's good.
You've got Brown and Auburn.
Brown, Auburn... Gray. Is there a gray university? What's the best way to be accomplishing this? Are you thinking of conferences?
Or colors.
I don't know what conference Brown was in. The Ivy League?
Ivy League.
Oh. No. Crimson. No. Is Harvard a color?
No.
Well, I don't even know the best path to get to these answers.
It's not easy. You want the last two?
Give me a hint. Give me a conference. Give me a conference.
I don't even know what...
You don't know the conference? It's going to be FCS then, isn't it?
I don't think they're in a conference.
Oh, not in a conference. Notre Dame's not a color.
Right, right. Who does Notre Dame play a lot?
They play Navy.
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 They're in the AAC. Navy.
Does that count? Navy blue, really. Navy, but I guess navy.
Navy's a color.
I don't need the blue after it. I know. Okay, that's fine.
So you got
that's
navy, fair. Auburn, brown, and the fourth one's the hardest.
Golden? Is there a golden somewhere? Gold, this, silver.
This color is... I've never heard of this color without it being burnt.
Burnt red, burnt orange, burnt...
It's a crayon burnt. Color. Burnt.
Burnt. When's the last time I picked up a crayon? Burnt.
I also don't know if they're Division One.
He doesn't know if they're Division One, which means they could be.
I just threw this together.
Fringe.
And by throw it together, I mean I just repeated
Fringe
some,
D1.
A question I was asked at the tailgate. Mm. Correct answer is they're in Albany.
They're in Albany?
Yeah. Loudonville, New York.
But it's not Albany.
It's not Albany. Siena.
Never in a million years.
Right, exactly.
Never burnt in a million Siena. Years. I wouldn't have known burnt Siena. I wouldn't have known Siena was a color.
I've never seen unburnt Siena, but Siena.
Okay, Siena's a color?
Apparently.
That is ridiculous trivia.
Yeah.
Getting that is ridiculous.
It's also spelled differently. These are the questions that you get asked at a tailgate when, you know, you're waiting for Bills Dolphins.
How long did it take you to answer that, or did he give it to you? You spend the whole tailgate trying to think of colors?
No, not four, not like 3 hours, but it was, you know, a few minutes. We just went around and did a bunch of trivia.
Cowboys are likely to place Dak Prescott on IR.
Their backup is Cooper Rush.
It's either him or Trey Lance. I don't know if we know who will start. I mean, if Trey Lance doesn't play now, he'll never play in the NFL.
All right. Extendo Sports coming up in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Detroit 2, the Saves 1. 8:18 left here in this third period. Take a look at our Nissan upcoming games.
How about Tuesday, that, back home. Rob Ray? Rob Ray saying Saves.
I think you started this.
On the broadcast.
I don't think this is a win for you. You started all this.
I mean, you're in shambles. Are you ready to concede?
My concession is you did this. This all organically began with you a year ago, whenever this happened.
Rob Ray says Saves. The Panthers are trading Jonathan Mingo to the Cowboys. Jerry Jones had apparently said, we're going to trade for a receiver, a guy I liked in college. We tried to guess during the break. Ole Miss connections, Arkansas connections. You guessed Treylon Burks, which is a terrible idea.
This is basically Treylon Burks.
This is basically Jonathan Mingo to the Cowboys.
He stinks.
Yeah. All right. Good luck.
Second round pick last year. He stinks.
One of these non-separators that doesn't win with size.
He doesn't even do contested stuff. Nope. Like, he doesn't do anything. Wasn't that back-to-back years Carolina picked horrible second round receivers?
Yeah.
Who was the other one? Terrace Marshall.
Yeah, Terrace Marshall Jr.
Who knows where now in the league.
He was a guy that got a million different, the Bills will trade for that guy.
Yeah, would not have wanted the Bills to get Jonathan Mingo in.
No.
Any world.
Terrace Marshall Jr. is currently in Vegas.
Okay.
All right. We're back tomorrow. It'll be a, usual Wednesday.
Hopefully the Saber season isn't over.
That's right. Hopefully the Saber season. Hopefully they're not in last place.
The Cowboys gave a fourth round pick for Jonathan Mingo?
That's unbelievable.
They almost traded the same what Amari Cooper got traded for.
That's incredible.
Oh,
it's Mingo
goodness.
In a seventh. I mean, Mingo in a seventh for a fourth.
Someone's got to take the keys to that franchise away from Jerry Jones. Someone's got enough. You can't have your finger on the button anymore
it
to
is,
make these
it
trades.
Is worth
that's,
saying
that's a horrible
that,
trade.
The Panthers drafted a guy in the second and traded him for a fourth.
Yeah.
It's an okay return for them, but that's a miss. All right.
Yeah.
Cheers.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.